you're listening to Cat right here on Youth Beat Radio. Thanks for tuning in today, guys. And we've had a lot of great people on the show. Some people have gone on to do big and better things. And then some of them have just recently graduated and everything. So we want to kind of like rekindle some of these old interviews and old segments and stuff like that, because we think these are some of the best things that we've had. Totally missed the most. So we're going to get started here. We're going to get to that. And then I'll kind of recap about some of the things we talked about from there. We're going to get started with an interview first by Nishant. And this aired originally in July of 2009. So hopefully you guys will enjoy this. And some of you guys might remember it. So let's get straight into that interview.
I started off my trip in Korea for 2 weeks. And from Korea, I traveled to Japan for a few days. Following that, we traveled to Singapore. And then from Singapore to Indonesia. And then from Indonesia, I came back to the States. I spent about 10 days in Indonesia, about 3 or 4 days in Singapore. I've been to India before and China. I've also visited Korea and Japan prior. So this was my second time to both Japan and Korea. This was my first visit to Indonesia and Singapore. The capital of Korea is South Korea, by the way, not North Korea, is Seoul. And Seoul is a very big city. It's a metropolitan city, very vibrant city. About 15 million people live there. It is probably 1/4 of the people live there. It's very similar to New York City. The language there is Korean. They have their Korean traditions there and their language there. One of the things that people do is they don't typically eat at home because they're houses are so small. They typically like to eat out more in Korea. You can really tell that the culture is very different from others because of their language. And you can also, sometimes you're able to see traditional clothing, not so much anymore as it used to be. Now they're starting to go to wear more Western clothing. Korea, I would say, Korea has changed a lot. I don't know if our listeners know, but in the we were in war with them from 1950 to 1953. We were with South Korea trying to fight the communists. And at that time, Korea was very, very poor, and they continued to be poor, had a dictator until I believe it was in the 90s, early 90s, that they did not have a dictator. And since then, now, they are one of the fastest-growing economies in the entire world. In fact, they are now a developed country like the United States. So they've gone from being a very, very poor country in the world to being a very developed country now, and very much similar to the United States. As far as per capita income, I think they are a little bit above $20,000. I would say they're maybe around, this is just a guess, I'm not very sure, but probably around $25,000 is their per capita income. But like I said before, most of the people live in their capital city, Seoul. In the south, there's another city called Busan. I believe another 10 million people live there. But most people like to stay very close to the cities. I have actually visited the North Korea-South Korea border, and that was on my last trip. And during that trip, we actually got to see the countryside, and that was actually a very, very cool experience because we actually got to see a little bit into North Korea from the South Korean side with binoculars. North Korea is a very interesting country because, you know, we keep hearing about it on the news with, you know, their dictator, and we've heard a lot about how poor they are and their nuclear bomb and everything. Well, it actually is true. It is, you can tell it's very poor because you don't see any cars. In fact, we saw mostly people riding their bicycles on the streets there, and a lot of farmland. You also saw there was a lot of propaganda there. There was, in fact, a town right across the border that the North Koreans wanted the South Koreans to think that they're living comfortably and having a great life when they're not, and this is just a fake city there and no one's living there, but they have tall buildings right across the border. And you can really tell that, you know, it's kind of very similar to East and West Germany when the unification came together, where East Germany was very, very poor, and the West was doing very, very well. It's the same thing. North Korea is very, very poor, and South Korea is very, very rich, and they're very different from each other.
This is Kat, and I'm back on Youth Beat Radio. That was Nishant Nikija, and he was one of the interns that worked here at Ohio State University for the Youth Beat Radio program. And he kind of gave us a little bit of a history lesson. He talked about his trip through Asia to different countries. Obviously, he said he went to North and South Korea. He went to India, and he went to a few other places. And he kind of gave us like a whole geography lesson and history lesson on basically the culture of North Korea, how they live today, and things like that. So I thought that was something interesting to incorporate. He did that interview originally with Christy Lakeys, and she's the executive producer of Youth Beat Radio. So that's something that I felt we should include, and I hope that if Nishant, you're listening, hope you're proud to be back on the show again. So let's get to the next portion, and that's going to be something that came from Youth Beat in May of 2009. So I'm going to come back and talk to you guys a little bit more about that. Has anybody ever been to North or South Korea? Have you guys ever had a similar experience that Nishant had, or maybe different parts of the world that might be similar to North Korea? We'd like to hear about that on Youth Beat's Facebook page, which is, you know, Youth Beat Radio, and that's on Facebook, or you can go to youthbeat.osu.edu, and you can check us out, leave comments and things like that. You can listen to past shows. So, like I said, let's get to the next part, and we'll kind of recap after that and see what's going
on. So let's say you're standing in the fruit section at the supermarket. Two apples are sitting next to each other on the shelf, and you pick them up. Both apples are firm, shiny, and green. But the only difference is, in one hand, you're holding a conventionally grown Granny Smith apple, and in the other hand, you have one that's labeled organically grown. So now you're obligated to make a decision. The conventionally grown apple costs less, and since you've had them before, you know what to expect. But the organic apple is labeled USDA organic. And so now you start thinking, does that mean this apple is better, safer, more nutritious? Organic foods meet the same quality and safety standards as conventional foods. The difference lies solely in how the food is produced, processed, and handled. So why is it that so many people are choosing to eat more organic foods this year? I personally think a main reason for this is because of the positive environmental factors. As we said on the show before, many people are choosing to go green this year as well. And organic food farming practices are designed to benefit the environment by reducing pollution and conserving water and soil. So why not kill two birds with one stone? Help the environment and eat foods with less pesticide residue. However, I found out that organic fruits and vegetables spoil faster since they aren't treated with waxes or preservatives. And because of this means you would have to make more stops at the supermarket. Also, the appearance of organic foods may be a little bit more different than conventional foods. Organic produce can have an odd-looking shape, varying colors, and perhaps smaller sizes. But in most cases, they will look just like all the other fruit or vegetables on the shelf. Because I've heard so many of the girls at work talking about organic foods and their choice to eat it, I decided to ask a few girls in my class what they thought about organic foods and if they chose to eat it. Both girls replied that they don't eat organic foods and believe that only older people are switching to organic foods because, as of now, high school students aren't that worried about how the food they eat will affect them in the long run. And I agree with this. Leaving school for lunch, all the nearest drive-thrus to Wendy's, McDonald's, Taco Bell, and all the other restaurants are jam-packed with cars.
So that was one of our very own Upper Arlington High School students, and her name is Philomena. She did one of our segments that is called Trend Watch, and as you can see that over the years, Trend Watch has kind of changed because Trend Watch has been more catered toward like things people are doing as far as health-wise or things like that. And obviously, Philomena talked about the going green movement and how people are like going organic instead of having like conventionally grown fruits and vegetables. And I totally agree with her in some aspects and then totally disagree with her in other aspects. I would say that First of all, I'm not one to really pay attention to whether an apple is conventionally grown or organic, but I do like to eat a lot of organic things. I think I'm more familiar with the idea of eating organic rather than shopping organic. So I think that's where the difference lies between back in 2009, where the Go Green movement was just like viral, and how it is now, because more people are, you know, it's almost like second nature now to see something organic and say, okay, I'm going to get this one because this one is obviously healthier. You know, that's something that people now assume that organic foods are healthier. But one thing she did mention was that organic foods are more expensive, for one. And then for two, they spoil quicker because they're not covered in waxes and preservatives and things like that. So in high school, you are not really interested in worrying about, like, okay, I'm going to buy organic food. In high school, you're not even buying food. So that's something, you know, I guess it just kind of depends on the situation and where you are, and who you're around. Because obviously Philomena was more around like high school students at that time. And now we're focusing on people, you know, the entire Columbus area. And I think a lot of people are really big into the organic thing. Jen, who does the Trend Watch most of the time now, she's one of the regulars on Trend Watch, and she actually talks more about like fur and anti-fur and things like that. But Jen eats a lot of vegan food, and I think she is completely vegan. I mean, I guess you can't be partly vegan, but I'm pretty sure she is vegan. And she eats a lot of things that, you know, instead of like cow's milk, she'll drink some other kind of milk, like soy or something like that. She might not be a vegan. I'm not really sure exactly if she is or not, but she might be a vegetarian, something like that. I think that's what it is. But she goes really deep into like organic foods and different vegan types of foods, and she has actually given us a lot of vegan recipes too on our show, if you're like a regular listener. So, I mean, what do you guys do? Are you big on organic foods? Are you not big on organic foods? Like I said, you can always get on our Facebook page and kind of leave comments and things like that, or you can go to youthbeat.osu.edu. And one of the experiences that I recently had with organic food, I went to the grocery store and I was getting ready to buy some grapes. And usually, you know, grapes are pre-bagged, so you can't just like pick up vines of grapes and stick them in bags. They're pretty much already in a sack already. So per pound, it was probably like, I think it was like $2 a pound or something, $2 and some change per pound. So my bag of grapes was over 2 pounds, and I ended up paying, it was almost 3 pounds. I ended up paying like $7.50 for these grapes. So I'm not really like doing the math exactly, but I know that for sure there were a few dollars per pound, and I couldn't just like take the grapes out of the bag. So I ended up paying a lot of money for some grapes. And when you think about it, like $7.50 for a bag of grapes, who's not going to be like, you know, I really could have just bought some frozen dinner, or I could have just went to McDonald's or Burger King or something like that. Because for $7, I can get a whole meal for, you know, at McDonald's. I can get a couple of meals if I order, you know, the cheapest thing there. The cheapest burger there is like 99 cents. So it makes you think, like, can you really blame people for not like being worried about their health when it comes to buying organic food? Because most people can't afford to buy organic foods. People can't afford to say, I'm going to buy all fruits and vegetables organically grown. I mean, you can barely buy fruits and vegetables, period, because they're so expensive. So, and I mean, you kind of have to, like, if you were to get a full diet and everything you're supposed to get in your diet daily, you'd probably be broke, you know, if you're on like a college student salary, or, you know, like a somebody that's not doing a major, you know, high-paying job, something like that. Usually you can't really afford to feed a family on organic, on an organic diet. So anyway, let's move forward. We're going to get into another segment from our past shows. And the next one, let's see. This one came from July 2009. It was the Oberlin Green Reunion. So we're going to hear a little bit about that. And hopefully you guys are starting to see kind of like the diversity we have on the show, where we have like Upper Arlington students who do things about trends. And then we have the trends that Jen does, which she talks a lot about fashion because she's really into fashion. And then we also have people that are interns like Nishant Nikija, and he comes to, you know, he was our intern and he went to Asia and he traveled Asia for a while and told us a bit about South Korea and North Korea and the difference in the culture and stuff like that. So that's what we aim to do here at Youth Beat Radio, is to kind of like mix things up so that you guys can get a big, not only you guys, but us too, can get a big wide variety of knowledge and wide variety of listening. So let's move on to the next segment, which is the Oberlin Green Reunion from July 13th, 2009. This is Kat, and you're listening to Youth Beat Radio.
Good evening, and welcome to another edition of Youth Beat Radio on community radio station WCRS. I'm your guest host and executive producer, Christy Lakeys, from The Ohio State University, and I am here with Eugene Beer, the chief engineer of WCRS, and we're going to be talking about a weekend that we spent at Oberlin College for the commencement weekend and class reunion. Eugene is an alum of Oberlin, and he invited me along to visit Oberlin College, and it was my first visit to Oberlin, and so we're going to talk about some things that we saw up there and some people we talked to.
Yeah, good evening, Christy. What do you think of Oberlin College?
Well, I had heard a lot about this famous school, and especially the music school. So, and also, I'm aware of the environmental studies program and some of the things that the school is doing. It was nice to visit, a nice small town, and I was very impressed.
Well, for me, of course, I graduated in 1973, but there were significant and dramatic changes to that campus. Immediately noticeable was the new environmental sciences building, built in 2002. The roof, a curved roof, completely covered with solar panels, as well as the covered parking area, which had a roof of solar panels. And then the new sciences building, which had a huge south-facing lobby, all glass to let the sun in the wintertime. And I was quite impressed. And, of course, the signs everywhere that brought to mind one's responsibility that's needed to be a good steward for the environment. The first thing that I noticed when we registered for the alumni housing was right there outside of the office there, the room, where was a panel of three students all weekend long. That was all 3 days. About 16 hours a day, they staffed that table, and they approached the visiting alumni about calculating their carbon offset for traveling to Oberlin.
And how much did that cost you?
Well, I said I drove from Columbus, and they calculated the mileage in a car, and I was driving alone. So it was $4, I believe. I think they said it was about 90 pounds of carbon that I generated.
90 pounds of carbon. That seems like a lot.
It does, especially when it's a gas, and a gas is very light, so it was probably a very large volume of carbon.
Great. Well, I also toured the Environmental Sciences building and was very impressed. It's just, what struck me, it's so bright. It was, I think, at least one side, maybe two sides, are glass, and there were a lot of plants in the building, water, there was like a water fountain or a waterfall, and it was just beautiful. It was bright, it was beautiful, you felt definitely connected to the natural environment in that building.
So that was a segment that Christy Lakeys did And she interviewed the chief engineer of WCRS-FM, which is our home radio station right now. So make sure that you tune in to other shows that are specifically on WCRS-FM. And they were talking about a weekend that they had at Oberlin College, which has apparently an amazing natural resources department, and their building must be like extremely advanced. A lot of times when we think about like natural resources and preserving and things like that and energy efficiency, we think about like not using any energy at all. A lot of times, I know I do anyway, I think of basically the fact that, you know, plants and stuff like that, but I don't think of using energy efficiently. I think of like not using it at all. But if you were listening to this show back when it aired in 2009, you may remember some of the things they were talking about, like these stalls in the bathroom that like kind of you like get rid of the waste on its own. And then people were asking, like, you know, where does the waste go? Things like that. A lot of the students were really involved in what we call, like, a competition at this point, because they were, like, in competition with each other to see who could use the least amount of energy. And they did so by calculating it and using, like, visual effects, like orbs and things like that, that would light up so that they can see that they're using a specific amount of energy. And I like that she did this interview with him because it shows that we're very versatile and we can show other universities and other colleges and how they're advancing too, because I mean, Ohio State is doing really good and we have always had, you know, top-notch kinds of technology, and we were always advancing in so many different ways, but it's good to see other schools around Ohio and things like that that are doing a lot of stuff that is going to help the environment, that's going to help students to learn how to preserve things that are going to help people to use, think creatively. Because that show, I mean, literally they talked about so many different things that Oberlin College is doing to basically help the environment and to advance. So I'm very proud of our show for giving Oberlin College a little bit of spotlight, because we could use that. We could use a larger variety of schools and a larger variety of institutions where people are doing great things in the community around Columbus and around Ohio, you know, and basically things that we can get involved in ourselves. So let's get moving to another segment that we have that aired in, let's see, April of 2009. And then obviously I'm going to come back and kind of recap about that as well. And also the current hosts and people that are on the segments now, hope you guys aren't getting too jealous, because we got a lot of good stuff. So the bar has really been set pretty high for us, and we hope that we're, you know, coming and hitting that mark at least, and actually going above and beyond. We got a lot of good stuff that's going to be happening this year with Upper Arlington students, hopefully more students outside of the Columbus area, because we've got a lot of people that are interested in helping and getting involved in broadcasting some things that they know. So I'm thinking 2013 is going to be a really good year for us. So let's keep listening. You're listening to Youth Beat Radio on WCRS-FM. Let's keep going.
Hi, I'm Olivia with Man on the Corner. This week, I asked students of Upper Arlington High School if they would rather start school earlier than 8:05 or later than 10 a.m. Here's what they said.
If we start school later but end at 3:05 still, I think that would be a great idea because everyone's more awake and, you know, more alert for their classes and they can pay attention better. But if it makes us stay in school longer to like 5 or something, I think that would be a really bad idea. Because then by the time you start sports and everything, you don't get home till late. And then by the time you do homework, you don't get to bed till really late. And definitely we should not start school earlier because people would just be dead in all their classes. So I think either keep school at 8:05 and like end at 3:05, or if they're willing to like let out at 3:05 but start school at like 10:30, I'm all for that.
Although I loved OGT week, I thought like it caused me to have more homework and teachers to cram more. I know there are other schools like Hilliard, they have to wake up and go to school at like 7:30 in the morning and they get out at like 2:50 or something like that, which I actually don't even think I'd mind doing that because then you'd get out earlier and have more time in the afternoon. And when I sleep in on the weekends, I don't wake up until like 12 o'clock anyways. But it kind of gets school, you know, you're up early, you have the same amount of time to get through all of your stuff and then you're out. So I think maybe earlier would even be better. I get up for Glee early anyways, so it doesn't matter, but yeah.
That was one of our past hosts, Olivia, and what she did was one of our segments called Man on the Corner. She was an Upper Arlington senior back in 2009, so she's probably about a senior in college now. And some of those students, basically what they did was take an upper hand and trying to decide or help faculty to figure out what was a good time for school to start. And they're kind of tackling some of the issues of whether or not school has been effective because of the way or the time that they start school. And I agree with that. And I'm actually very impressed with that strategy because in college, you get to pretty much pick what times you start classes for the most part, unless, you know, you have like a schedule that you can only pick a couple of classes at one point and, you know, they're only given at a certain time. So pretty much you have a lot of leeway in college as to what time you go to campus and what time you're done on campus. And that's one of the things that I really appreciate about college and probably one of the more things that I'm going to miss about college because I'm a senior now. So I think that's something I'm going to miss about college the most is that I get to basically make my schedule. I get to pick when I go to school and when I leave school and things like that. And I don't know how I'm going to let go of it. But basically, a lot of the students were saying that maybe they should start school earlier and get out of school earlier so that they can have more of the day to go play sports or, you know, go to practice and then have time to do homework at night versus going to school at maybe 8 o'clock and then they get out of school around 3 o'clock and then they still have soccer practice, basketball practice, cheerleading practice, things like that. And obviously these things are extracurricular, but schools and pretty much everybody encourages students to participate in sports. I participated in extracurricular activities in high school. I was a cheerleader and I was also in band. I played the tenor saxophone and the alto saxophone for an art school. And then I also was in one of the visual arts programs too at school, and we did a lot of like art shows, ceramics, things like that. And I think it did make me a better person altogether because I feel more well-rounded. I feel like I had an active role in making decisions and becoming who I ultimately am now. My interest in music and art and things like that came from my participation in different extracurricular activities at school. So I really like that segment because they get to basically let the faculty know, you know, how they feel about getting up and going to school super early in the morning and then not having enough time to kind of come home and unwind before they have to do homework and before they have to go to practice and things like that and come back and do it all over again. And obviously they have the weekend, but, you know, the weekends are never quite long enough. You've been listening to another episode of Youth Beat Radio. You can find us online at youthbeat.osu.edu and on Facebook. You can email us at youthbeat@osu.edu. I'm your host, Kat, and thanks for listening. Youth Beat Radio is produced by youth from the Central Ohio High Schools, youth groups, and universities. The show is supported by the School of Environment and Natural Resources at The Ohio State University, Ohio State University Extension, the Puffin Foundation West, and local sponsors. The ideas expressed on the show are not necessarily those of the station or the sponsor.